And would you please turn to your Bibles this morning to the book of Joshua. Joshua, chapter 24. Talk to you for a few moments today on commitment. Joshua chapter 24. Read verses 14 and 15. As after we read the scripture, let's continue to remember the Schoenbergs in our prayers. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, we just ask your blessing upon this word today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to be with Bill and Ellen and their family. Lord, as we just lift them up to you today, Lord, that you would be God to them, that you would be the Almighty, all-powerful one, Lord, providing everything that they need through this difficult time in their life, their trial. Lord, just be with them. I thank you, Lord, for their faith and the testimony that they have. And Lord, I know that you will bless them. And we thank you for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, the way you responded to the message was a real encouragement to me. And it was like the lights went on for some. And I think we presented sin in a way that many of you had not considered it before. And how God wants to help us with our sin. And with our sin nature. And with this, our sins on a daily basis. But I want you to know that there's no quick fix, no sure cure, no once and for all experience in life that will catapult us to a place where we live in constant victory. We need to understand that. There's no formula, there's no quick fix, no special secret that will do that. But I think what will help us is understanding commitment. And what commitment really is, what it's all about. And there are two levels of commitment. The first is the present level of commitment. The present level of commitment. Let's suppose you come here today and you have a hunger to experience more of God. You are not experiencing everything in the Christian life that there is to experience, and you know that. Maybe you are still living in defeat in some areas of your life, even though you want Jesus to be Lord of your life, Lord of all. You want the Holy Spirit to infill you and indwell you and empower you. And so you're committing yourself to Him to do that in your life. You're committing yourself to Him today. That's what we call the present level of commitment. But commitment is really based on two things. It is based on the knowledge of yourself and your knowledge of the Lord. I was saved at the age of 9. And I took Jesus for all I knew Him to be at that moment. I didn't know a lot about Him, even though I grew up going to Sunday school and church all my life. I knew a lot of things about the Bible. I knew a lot of Bible stories. And I might have thought at that time that I knew a lot about Him. But now looking back on that, 30-some years later, I realized that there was a lot I would need to learn about the Lord. And I've learned a lot about Him, and I don't know to this day everything there is to know about Him. You know, I think we'll probably spend an eternity learning all there is to know about God. But I knew that Jesus died for me, and I knew that He died to take away my sins. And so in that simple faith of a 9-year-old, I received Christ into my life. I accepted Him as my Savior. I received Him as the way I knew Him to be that day. and I believe that I was saved. And you've had that experience and you're saved. But you know, it would be ridiculous for me to think that that level of commitment I had as a 9-year-old was going to stay the same all through my life. That present level of commitment would not last. Why? Because I discovered some things about myself that I didn't know earlier. In fact, I didn't know there were sins in my life that I continued to do, even after receiving Jesus as my Savior. And also, I discovered that the Lordship of Jesus has a much wider scope than I thought it had as a 9-year-old. I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't really know what the Lordship of Jesus was at that age of 9. He is a ruler over more than I realized. And He's probably a ruler over more than you have realized. And so what are you going to do? Well, that takes us to the second level of commitment, and that is the progressive level of commitment. This present level of commitment can last. This experience can last. Why? Because as I learn things about myself, and as I learn more about Jesus, I yield to Him. I yield to that knowledge of Him. So I am constantly updating my commitment, as it were. I came across a verse this week in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Paul said, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." And I remember when we built the church, I watched a great deal of it. I helped with some that I could, but I watched more than I helped. But after we got all the excavating ready, we started to put these forms out there where we were going to pour concrete. How many of you have ever poured concrete? You know, you have to have some kind of form, a wooden form or some kind of form there. And I think we wound up pouring this in 3 days. Was that right, Glenn? I think it's 3 or 4 days, something like that. No, I'm talking about the base concrete. Maybe it took even longer than that. I don't exactly remember, but I do remember the forms that we had out there and the cement trucks coming and pouring the concrete. And the concrete, as it was being poured, fitted itself to the frame. It stayed within the boundaries of the frame, but when they poured the concrete, when the frame went to the right, the concrete went to the right. When the frame went to the left, the concrete went to the left. It was always being formed. It was being delivered to the cement form of truth, if we would. You know what? That cement there obeyed every single time. And when we were all done, when it was finished, the cement looked exactly like we wanted it to look. I mean, except for the cracks and those kind of things. I mean, the form, the shape, was exactly the way we wanted it to look. And God has given us His book. And it's the form of truth. And occasionally, like today, God delivers us to this form. And when I read the Bible and God says, "Well, you need to turn here," then I follow His instructions and I turn there. And if I'm going through life and God says, "There's another turn up here. Here's another thing you haven't noticed that I want to change in your life." And as I read that and I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to me, then I change that thing in my life and I'm being formed again to the Word of Truth. And as we do that, we become more and more what this book says we are supposed to be like. We become more and more what a Christian is to be like. When we finished pouring the cement here, we had the form of the entire church. Although it took a while for that to happen. As God changes us through His Word, we become in the image of Christ. We become more like Him every time we submit to His truth. It's the progressive level of commitment. A year from now, God will deliver you to the truth or form, and you may see something in your Word. You may see something in the Lord that you had not seen before. Some other part of your life that you need to bring under His Lordship, under His control. something to commit yourself to again. It's like God delivering the cement to the form. And if you obey the form to which you have been delivered, then you will raise the level of your commitment. That way, we can make the commitments that we make to Christ, we can have them last. It moves in cycles as God delivers us to this form. Now, Joshua here is rehearsing with the people all the things that God has done. On the basis of that, in verse 14, he challenges the people to a higher level of commitment. And I don't think that God really ever asks us to do things or commit ourselves to do things that he doesn't beforehand tell us why we should do that, why we should make that commitment. And so the first 13 verses of this chapter, God is saying to the people, this is why you need to raise your level of commitment. Look at what I have done for you. And so faith really isn't here in the area of commitment anyway. It's not a blind leap into the dark. He always says, this is who I am, this is what I have done, and because of that, you need to trust me. Now, Joshua here, he's an old man, and he's about to die. He is issuing his last challenge to the people. It's a challenge to a new, deeper, fresh commitment. The challenge is summed up in three commands found in verse 14. They are to fear the Lord, to serve Him, and to put away the gods of Egypt. It's in those three commands or those three statements that I believe we can keep our commitment up to date. Making sure that our commitment won't fizzle out, or making sure that we're not going to jump back in the valley of despair. Those three statements: fear the Lord, serve the Lord, and put away the false gods. First of all, he says, fear the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning and ending of all wisdom. This is what, especially in the Old Testament, they were told and taught over and over again. They had to fear the Lord. Like we would say, probably the premise in the New Testament is we have to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Well, those living in the Old Testament, without the proper fear of the Lord, it was impossible for them to please Him. Well, we also need to fear the Lord. I think there's three kinds of fear. First of all, there's that superstitious kind of fear. And I'm amazed that even Christians have superstitious kind of fear. I remember reading an article by Ron Dunn as he was going as an evangelist to this church, and the pastor asked him, he said, do you have any tapes? Do you have a tape series on the work of demons and spiritual warfare? And Ron Dunn said, yeah, I do. I do have such a set. He said, how much is it? Ron Dunn answered, it's $13. Pastor said, could I pay you $14? He said, why? Because 13 is a bad number. 13 is an unlucky number. Ron Dunn said, I should have given him the tapes. He really needed them. But he said, I'll take $14 and I'll owe you a dollar. There are times even when Christians get messed up and they fear superstition. A great many of the world's religions are based upon superstitious fear, where people serve God out of superstition. You know, if they don't do this, then something bad is going to happen to them. And then there's another kind of fear, what I'll call slavish fear. This is the kind of fear where you are scared to death of your master. You hate to hear his voice because you always know he's going to beat you. There's a lot of false religions that are based upon this kind of fear as well. And I don't believe that this is the kind of fear that God wants us to have either. The kind of fear that God wants us to have is what I call spiritual fear, for lack of a better term. It's the kind of fear where you hold Him in such awe that we would rather do anything than offend Him. We want to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. We don't take our relationship with Him lightly and flippantly. We fear Him. That's the attitude. So the first thing that we need to do in the area of commitment is we need to fear the Lord. Secondly, we need to serve the Lord. Basically, it has the idea of paying homage, both in what we call service and worship. I think that the tendency is to really narrow worship down to an hour on Sunday mornings. Well, that is our time of worship. Well, it's not just when you come within the four walls of this church building. Worship is paying homage to God in many ways. In Colossians, Paul is not talking to preachers about preaching sermons. He's talking to slaves about serving masters. And he says, whatever you do, remember you have a master in heaven. Whatever you do your best at it. Why? Because you do it unto the Lord. That's worship. You may sell shoes. You might be an insurance salesman. You might pump gas. You might drive a van. You might be a lawyer, a doctor. Whatever you do, you probably have a boss. But let me tell you, you have a higher boss in heaven, a master in heaven, and he is wanting you to serve him in whatever occupation, whatever way you make your living, you're still serving him. And he says, as you serve me, you are to serve two ways, in sincerity and in truth. Sincerity would be what you see is what you get. Sincerity means that there is harmony between what is on the inside and what's on the outside. In other words, it's not just that, like, I act like I love the Lord. I really do love the Lord. And what people see in my public life is the same in my private life. That's sincerity. Then he also says, in truth. Serve the Lord in truth. It's an interesting word. Same word that is used of Rahab in Joshua 2. Remember when the spies came to Rahab? And she gave, she asked for a pledge. She asked them to give her a pledge that they would not harm her or her family when they came back and conquered Jericho. She asked for a pledge, a promise, some sign that she knew she would be delivered, and they gave her one. It's the same Hebrew word that is translated here as truth. It's the idea of being faithful, dependable, trustworthy. So we serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. And three, put away the gods of Egypt. Put away the false gods. Now the second and third things here, serving the Lord and putting away the false gods, are really practical expressions of fearing God. If we have a healthy fear of Him, then naturally we will serve Him and we will put away the false gods. Verse 14 to me is unique. There's something unusual about here. It says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. Okay, these were just gods that their father served. They had never set foot in Egypt. They had lived all their lives in Canaan. Remember, there were only two that really made it to the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. And many Bible scholars think that Caleb probably is no longer living at this time. So it's really just Joshua talking to a bunch of people who'd never been to Egypt, telling them to put away the gods of the Egyptians. Interesting to me. I think what the point here is that the seeds of the Egyptian gods were in their hearts. Even though they never knew those gods, the seeds to serve them were there. If they didn't watch it, could sprout at any moment like glowing embers under the ashes. It wouldn't take much to fan them into a blaze. You know, the truth of the matter is that there are seeds of sin in all of our hearts. No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how deeply you are committed to the Lord, the seeds of the world, the seeds of Egypt, are in our hearts. And even though I've seen Christians who commit themselves to the Lord, and then they let down their guard after a while in the Christian life, and they do things that they would never have done before they were Christians. Why? Because the seed of sin is in their heart. The gods of Egypt, we need to be aware of them, that we don't serve them. Look at verses 21 through 24, would you? Joshua chapter 24, verse 21. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. It's like they're trying to make the decision. Well, yeah, we're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua's almost trying to talk them out of that decision, because he doesn't want them to make a flippant decision. He wants them to consider the matter and make a decision that they're not going to turn back on. They said, we really mean it. When we say we're going to serve the Lord, we really mean it. And Joshua says, all right, prove it. Prove it by putting away the false gods and incline your heart unto the Lord. Literally, he is saying, stretch your heart out to the Lord. And every time I read that, I think of a baseball player. I think of a first baseman in particular, because I remember when I played little league ball, what I always wanted to do was play first base for some reason. They always stuck me in the outfield. That's because in little league, nobody ever hit the ball out there. No, I finally convinced my coach to let me play first base because I was tall and lanky and I could stretch. You ever watch baseball? You ever watch it when there's going to be a close play at first base? What does that first baseman do? He stretches, right? And if there's going to be a ball that's going to be in the dirt, it's a low throw, he stretches out to try to catch it on the fly or to get it on the short hop. And that is the picture here of how our soul needs to be stretched out to God. We need to be aware that God might be speaking to us. God might be calling us to action. God might be calling us to move in one direction or another, to follow the form of truth that he has set out for us. And we literally, our soul needs to be stretched out to God so we can obey at an instant's notice, the moment he calls. I like the definition of self-control that I heard. Instant obedience to the initial promptings of God's Spirit. We've been talking about on Wednesday nights about what obedience is. And obedience really is knowing the heart of the person you serve so well that you can act before they speak. You know what their intentions are. And that's the way God wants us to be as Christians. He wants us to have such a close fellowship, such a close relationship with him that we know what he's thinking. We can have the mind of Christ. That's what Paul says we should have. We should have the mind of Christ so close to him. I love it when, and this is difficult to do and it doesn't always work, but I love it when you can parent in such a way that you can just have to look at your children and your children know exactly what you're thinking and what to do. I used to have a friend who whistled. And no matter, he had this loud whistle. No matter where his kids were in the store, they heard that whistle and they came. Nobody else knew what the whistle was, but his kids knew what the whistle was and they came. Dad's calling. That we would form such a relationship with God that when God whistles or God looks at us in the spiritual realm, we know what is on his heart. We know what he wants us to do. There's a level of commitment that you have right now. Is that commitment going to last? No. The present level of commitment won't last because God wants to have you to have a progressive level of commitment. He's calling you to a deeper level of commitment. He's going to teach you some things about yourself. He's going to teach you some things about him that you didn't know before. Each time he teaches, it's a chance to raise your level of commitment and to keep your commitment up to date. Are you ready to commit yourself unto him? If you are, fear God, serve him, and put away any idols or false gods. Serve him, but serve him in sincerity and in truth. Can I have your heads bowed? I want you to think today about your level of commitment. And I'd like you to picture your soul today as all framed up, all formed up, God is going to pour the cement of truth into your soul? Are you going to allow God to change the form? Allow God to change the frame? To make you fit the frame, the image of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to update your commitment as He teaches you new things about yourself? As He teaches you new things about Himself? Will you deepen your commitment today? If you're willing to do that, could the Lord just see your hand? Lord, I'm willing. I commit to you truth. I commit to your working. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for those that have made commitments to you. I thank you, Lord, for those today that are willing to commit to a progressive level of commitment. And Lord, I pray that you would show them things about themselves and you would show them greater things about you, Lord, so that we can keep our commitments up to date. I pray, Lord, today that if there is any who has a wrong kind of fear, Lord, that you would teach them to fear you. Lord, I pray that there would not be one here who is not serving you in sincerity and truth. And I pray, Lord, that you would cleanse us of all false gods. Lord, if there is any false god, if we have made a god of anything in this life, Lord, that you would show us what that might be, that we could repent of that and learn to fear and learn to serve you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we stand?